You're listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century, the podcast from Unity San Francisco that explores modern spiritual teachings and provides insight into how to apply them in your life. This is Reverend Ken Daigle. Today's talk was recorded live at Unity San Francisco. Enjoy.
My talk today is called Prayer, Like You Mean It. Like You Mean It. Because if you're like me, you might have these moments of doubt. Moments of doubt of whether there's a God. Moments of doubt of whether there's anyone listening to this prayer. Moments of doubt of, is it going to make a difference? Shouldn't I just get up and do something rather than sit and pray? Doubt that I'll have the right words. The doubt that I've really taken on a new consciousness and I'm praying to that old God that I believed of as a child, that God up in the sky, up in the heaven, that is pulling all the strings and giving people punishments and rewards, and where's mine? I know where the punishments are. What if we actually pray from that place of doubt that I don't know. I don't know if anyone's listening. I don't know if there's anything out there. I don't know if this is going to make a difference. What if we could be that real all the time? And come before ourselves, our communities, our friends, our family, and say, I don't know, but I am willing to try this, to do things differently, to change things up. To be different than I've ever been before. And that's where I got in my life. I was desperate. I was broken. I had nothing left to do and give. I had to get on my knees, metaphorically. But almost literally, and say, I need help. I need something greater than me to help me shift out of this pain, out of this rut, out of this obsession. And my moment of clarity was to ask for help. Now, I picked up a phone to ask for help, but it was a prayer. It was faith that something greater could help me, and that my doing it my way, year after year, month after month, week after week, minute after minute, was not working. And so I asked for help. I started praying to whatever it was out there. I thought was out there and shifted into something that actually was useful to me. Shifted to something that I could do on a daily basis. You know, I had been in Unity at this moment of life. I knew what Unity was. I wasn't still in my old faith. My darkest moment, my bottom, my dark night of the soul happened after I found Unity. And looking back at it, I can see that that was a blessing. That was a gift because I had a spiritual community to help me through it. I had a spiritual team and a spiritual way of being that was transformative for my life. A way of praying that I quickly learned that made a difference to me. So
I often ask when we're teaching prayer chaplains, when we teach this here, we say, does prayer change God? The answer, of course, is no. Prayer doesn't change God. It doesn't change the outward situation. What prayer does is change you for the situation. Right? Because there is no, let's be really clear, we've been up in space. There's no God that sits up above the sky or above the clouds, right? We sent rockets out. We've sent everything out there. If there is a God out there in space, it's invisible as it is to us here on Earth. So we don't have to check our intellect at the door to understand that when we're praying to God, we're praying to something greater than ourselves. But what we're doing is praying for us to see it. To see it metaphorically and to see it physically, to see it in others, to see it in situations, to see the opportunities that we are blind to. Neurologically, we know that when you believe something doesn't exist, you literally can't see it. It may be sitting right in front of you, but your brain blocks it out. It is a psychological denial thing. It's true. If you believe something's not going to happen, you won't see it happen before your eyes because your brain is that powerful. But it is also that powerful when you're in these situations, when you have to climb the mountain, when you have to do something that you've never, ever done before, and you have no idea how you're going to get through it. When you pray in those moments, when you use your tenacity and you use your courage and you step forward one step after the other, everything shifts. Everything shifts. And those moments we call faith. And I want to be really clear. We call them faith, but faith is different than a belief in a dogma. Faith is different than a belief in a religious teaching. Faith is our belief in what's possible. So is it possible to cure from a disease that medicine doctors tell us is incurable, right? Yes, I hear a yes. Do I have another yes? Do I have one over here? Is it possible to recover from something that people tell you is chronic and will never go away? Yes, right? Is it possible to make money without the skills the world tells you you need to make it? Yes. We're watching lots of people make tons of money all the time that don't have the skills the world tells us is necessary to make money. Is it possible to find love at any age? Yes. Oh, come on. Is it possible to find love at any age? Yeah. Is it possible for hearts that have been broken to be healed? That's the faith I'm talking about. It is not blind in the sense that it doesn't see clearly. It's blind to the prejudices and to the assumptions that this world gives us. It's blind to, I'm too old for that. I'm too young for that. I'm not the right color. I don't have the right education. I don't come from the right background. I don't live in the right place in the world. Faith is understanding that your heart's desire and what you want and you desire for your life and your situation is possible at every moment. It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, but exists every moment. Day, every moment of the day. We know this is possible too because of how our brains work. Our brains
are wired.
And this is a funny little aside. So Hebbian learning, I've talked about this before. Hebbian learning is generally referred to because the doctor who studied neurology and understood how our neurons create pathways in our brain and make new neural pathways was Dr. Donald Hebbs. And so it's called Hebbian learning. And frequently it says that neurons that fire together wire together. And it's attributed to Dr. Hebb. He never said it. It was actually Carla Schatz, another neuroscientist, who said it, but they gave all the credit to the man. Right? Carla Schatz said, neurons that fire together wire together. And it stuck in common parlance now for decades. She said it in the 50s, and it is, I want to give her some credit for it, because it's a great phrase, because all of our habits are formed in our brain after we do them physically. So you know how to drive home without thinking about it. That's a Hebbian habit. That's heavy in learning. You know how to walk with doing multiple things at once because your brain can do it unconsciously. And that is done by repetition over and over and over again. But what happens to us all is that we also take on lots of negative habits that way and negative thought patterns. And we hold them very, very dearly. They become our belief system on some level. They become our faith. And we have faith in the negative, sometimes more potent than we have faith in the positive. How many of us do prayers like this? I'm not good enough. That's a prayer, folks. It's a negative prayer, but it's a prayer. I'm broken. I've said that one. I'm too old. The world is not safe. Those affirmations we say over and over and over to ourselves, sometimes out loud, sometimes when we're not conscious, we say them to other people. Oh yeah, that will never happen. That's not possible. The world's a dangerous place. That can't happen. And those become our prayers. Unconsciously, and sometimes consciously. And this is one of the great gifts of AI. Put this together for me, and I asked it for several different versions of it, right? And to create this slide. But it is strikingly universal at how much we all do it. And those of us who have been in Unity for years still do this. Right? So I want us to give ourselves and everyone on the planet a break. We are taught and we are survived because we were learned to look out for things. And our limbic brain, our reptilian brain, right, will always protect us from crossing the street. I still find I do it with my kids. Hold my hand. Look both ways before you cross the street. I'm embedding it in them because I want them to be safe. But we do that now when we don't have to. When in every moment of the way, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. We're waiting for something to go wrong. Well, I wonder how this is going to end, right? Which really means I know this is going to end badly. Everything is going to end. Everything. The good things, the bad things, everything is going to end. Including this physical body I'm in right now, that you're in right now. That doesn't mean our lives are over. It just means this version is over. And when we can make peace with that, when we can actually use that to enjoy this moment, to be fully present in this moment. So here I am, on this platform, talking to people I love, people that I respect, people that I care for. And I'm in this moment, in this community, which I have become such a big part of, much to my amazement some days and my great joy. And I worry. I worry that I'm doing it good enough. I worry that I'll have a good talk here. I'm worried that I am up to the job. I worry about the bills. I worry about the building. I worry about the infrastructure. I worry about the volunteers. I worry about the staff. And I spend just as much time in these negative prayers as everyone else does. And it's exhausting, isn't it? Isn't it just exhausting? Because the truth is also just as real, just as true, is that we have an incredible, incredible community who financially support us, who take care of this building. The volunteers you all just saw right here, all holding the spiritual consciousness for this space, the people who get up and sing, and the musicians who play for us, the staff back there who make me look good and make this sound good for everybody watching online. The building itself was a gift from spirit, from the universe, and how we've taken care of it and transformed it is all just is miraculous. And yet I worry. And I know I'm not alone because you all send me the notes. I'm worried about this, Reverend Ken. I'm worried about this, Reverend Ken. I'm worried about this. Have you thought about this? Yes. Constantly. It wakes me up at night. you're preaching to the choir. So what if we could change this? What would it really be like? What would our lives be like? What would this community be like if we stopped telling these old, old negative stories, these negative prayers to this God we don't know if we believe in or not? You don't have to believe in God for the evidence to work. This neuroscience studies that show this now, too. So this one I just recently read about. It's a study where they did three different kinds of people, three different control groups, and they all had different assignments. So they have three different control groups, and this is the experiment. They're all standing around in a room, and it's a bucket filled with ice-cold water, water and ice. And the job is that everyone is going to have to stick their hand in the bucket of ice cold water and see how long they can hold their hand in it before the pain gets to be too unbearable. And there's one group that does nothing. And they just have to do it. There's one group that just does meditation and they can put their hands in, just still meditation. And there's one group that does prayer and they have to pray that God is at work and that they have strength and that they have the ability to withstand anything. And if they don't believe in God, they have trouble with the word God, they can substitute universe, they can substitute Mother Nature, they can substitute source, whatever they want. But they have to pray. They have to say those affirmations. And they prep the three different groups. They have to do whatever they were told for the 20 minutes before. And they plunge their hands into the water. And what happens? The researchers record every grimace, every moment of pain, every flinch on their face, and they watch and they watch. The people who prayed held their hands in the water twice as long as every other group. And it made no difference, it made absolutely no difference whether they prayed to God or prayed to universe or source of it all or Mother Nature. The prayer of strength made the difference. And they reported the same levels of pain that the people who did not do that reported, but they were able to endure it twice as long. So back to my first slide, prayer doesn't change anything outside of it. Prayer changes us. And what if this thing we call God, source, energy, is actually in every cell in our body? And we're praying, as Unity teaches, not to something out there, but to something within us, that we're praying to our own selves. We're praying to our own consciousness. We're praying to our own sense of divinity, our own sense of something bigger. But that gives us the strength to endure the things that happen in life, the deaths, the disappointments, the despair that we all have to go through. We are here in these human bodies, in this human form, to have this human experience, to have these moments, the dark nights of the soul, but to transcend them and to go beyond them and to get to the other place where we can practice what's possible. We can practice not only what's possible, we can practice what we truly desire. Jessica and I were talking before service, and we were talking about meditation and talking about how to do some neurological work, the neuroscience of our affirmations and getting up in the morning and meditating. She pointed out to me that, yeah, there's research that shows too, if you do a little exercise before you do the meditation, that you're actually increasing your vascular productivity, and it's getting more blood to your brain. So then you do the meditation and you're rewiring the brain faster and it's all working faster. And so faith without works is dead is absolutely true, right? It is biblical, Jessica. It is biblical because when we do it, when we actually engage in physical activity as we're praying, as we're saying the affirmations, as we're redoing it, we're not only restructuring our body, we're restructuring our minds at the same time. And the two together make a potent combination that accelerates what we want fastest, right? We don't wait to go to the gym till we're in shape, right? I only go to the gym when I'm perfectly in shape. I only exercise when I get the right body because I have to put on the perfect outfit to get to the gym, right? We've all been there, right? Body shame is a real thing, right? In our consciousness, we do not. We exercise to get there. We pray to get to where we need. We don't have to have all the faith in the world to start the process of praying. We don't have to believe 100%. All we need is a mustard seed size of faith to make something possible. And that's, of course, from Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, where he says, all you need is the size of a faith, the size of a mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed, if you've never seen it, is infinitesimally small. Don't drop it on the floor. You will never find it. It's so small. But it grows into this giant bush. And it actually is all you need when you pray. Just that tiny, tiny bit of belief that this is possible. Belief that this is possible. That you can do the things. You can run the 5K. You can walk across the room. Whatever that is for you. You can climb the flight of stairs. Whatever that physical thing is, all you need is the tiniest bit of possibility, and it will shift for you. That's the power of prayer with works. We pray and we move our feet. We pray and we make a difference in the world. So the last one I want to get to is, pray like you mean it. I think that guy is incredibly focused. I was living in New York City. Was I? I'm telling this story like it's true. You ever do that? It's like, I was not. Philippe Petit. Remember Philippe Petit? Right? Who walked across the World Trade Center towers? Right? I think he did that in the late 70s, correct? I was not living in New York City in the late 70s. Okay. But anyway, I remember it like I was there because I've seen the videos and I've juxtaposed it in my mind. See the power of our minds to make these things true? Anyway, he walked across 110 stories up in the air on a tightrope, walked across with no net below, walked across the World Trade Center. The amount of focus in that is incredible. And that's the power of focused prayer. That's the power of affirmative prayer when our mind is laser sharp going, I need this. So we don't pray going, well, this or something better. I think that's just, right? This or something better, right? No, What I want, what I desire is right here and is present and it is clear and it is energized and it is potent and it is important. I pray in this moment for something greater than I've been experienced. So this is our opportunity. Who has a prayer request? Who has something they want to pray for? Let's do it. Let's pray like we mean it, folks. Let's pray like it's important. Let's pray like there's someone listening. Because guess what? There is. Right here, in between our ears, there is someone who really matters, who is listening to what the prayer request is. There's someone who needs this to be answered. And the answer exists right here and right now in time and space. The answer exists because the prayer is already laid out in our hands. Who needs a prayer right now? Yes.
Prayer for faith in myself, in life, and in God.
Prayer for faith in myself. Life and in God is the prayer request. So faith that you right now in this moment have everything within you that you need to thrive and to survive. You have every cell and atom of your body is energized with the Holy Spirit. You are on fire with passion, with hope, with possibility, with intelligence, with universal ancestral wisdom. And your being here is a miracle. You are all that there is to know. Right here, within your mind and at your fingertips. And that spirit itself, the forces and the energy of the universe have aligned to create you. In this time and place. And there is no accident in your being here. There is no accident in your birth, and there is no accident in your life. You are the divine expression needed to come forth in this moment and transform what is into what could be. And so it is, and so we make it so. Amen. Prayer request. I saw other hands. Yes. Oh, your poor friend. Have you ever gone through problems? Yes, you have everything within you to understand and know what that is to struggle. You know that the struggle has made you stronger. The struggle has made you more powerful. The struggle has made you wiser. So you use all of that wisdom and all of that compassion in this moment to show up fully present, knowing that your friend doesn't need a helping hand. Your friend needs faith in themselves, and you are here to give it. You are here to let that friend lift themselves up from this moment, and you are cheering as they become stronger, wiser, and more powerful with every moment. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. You want harmony, grace, and ease.
I'm walking in harmony and with harmony in the universe.
You want harmony, grace, and ease as you walk through the universe. Absolutely. Let's all pray for that, right? So in this moment, we know that this body that we are in is a miracle. A whatever age it is, a miracle, from the little ones who are downstairs, whose bodies are still forming, to those of us who are well past those formative years, and we're creating our bodies anew. We know that every cell and atom of your body is here to teach you, to show you, and to help guide you, to show you what grace is for you. That we all have different expressions of grace and harmony. We all have different expressions of wholeness and wellness and being. And as we enjoy these physical attributes of our body, we stop cursing them and we start blessing them. We start blessing the goodness that is flowing through us, in us, and out of us. Every moment and every day, we release the pain and the struggle, and we move fully and completely into harmony, alignment, ease, grace and comfort, knowing that every step we take is a step towards our true destiny, our wholeness. Every step we take is a gift of the divine, and every movement a joy. This is the idea, consciousness, and the ability that we possess to be whole despite any circumstances. So today, this moment, we celebrate this day by saying, I am so blessed. I am so grateful. And so it is. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century. I'm Reverend Ken Daigle. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Unity San Francisco, and learn more about us at unitysf.com. Spiritual Living for the 21st Century is a production of Unity San Francisco.